I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
.com. Morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg on a game day, game practice two. Sunday.
Game practice two.
On a wet Sunday. Man, if we get this Braves game in, this is one of those games where you kind of want Greg Maddux pitching or a Maddux-type pitching.
Yeah.
Not because of the quality, just with the speed. Because around 2 o'clock, they're expecting the skies to open up. And that could put a damper on anything going on outside.
Yep, and the Braves have had that already once this week earlier. Where the game was stopped in the seventh inning, and they said, all right, folks, that's enough rain. It's not going to stop. Y'all go home.
Question for you. You know how we talk about birthdays and we celebrate that person's achievements?
Right.
Yesterday was Tom Brady's birthday. We're talking about that and, you know whose birthday it is today?
Who's that?
And do we celebrate their achievements? Roger Clemens.
Wow.
I'm just asking.
But it is his
birthday.
I'm
just asking.
Yeah.
Hello.
You acknowledge him.
Okay, I just did.
Okay, that's enough.
Let's move on.
That's enough.
Normally when we bring Cole on here, it's all about, let's start off and tell us what's going on in the world of esports.
We already know.
Internationally, nationally, and locally. But yeah, exactly. The conversation across the mainstream sports world this past week has been about this 16-year-old kid winning $3 million. The kid who came in second place, I believe, got 1.5.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So there's that, and there's another piece of news that happened, but let's start with that and want to welcome Cole Gibson and join us here on Sports
Morning,
Radio
92. Morning, man.
Game.
Morning, guys. Greg, you're playing with dangerous water.
How's
with
that?
The Roger Clemens things, man.
What? Why is that?
You're playing with dangerous water with Roger Clemens. I mean, the legacy. I'm just saying. I also acknowledge him, but I don't know if I'd acknowledge him on the radio.
No. Oh, no. Hey, come on now. you talk about the famous and the infamous, man.
Yep, that's it.
So,
very true.
How do you feel? Because you actually touched on this last week, Cole, when you were joining us. How do people like yourself in your world, and that's where you live, the people who, in the esports world, when they see mainstream media giving love to your sport in a way that they've never done before? In fact, In the minds of a lot of people, these guys have been sort of disingenuous because of the way mainstream media has talked about esports in the past. But now, the embracement that they are giving you and the love, how do you guys feel about that?
A lot of people, if you're in my position where I've been in esports for a few years now, I've been around the block, it's almost like a half glass empty. We play it sometimes like the kid in school that is forging a path, the rebel, because we don't need your acknowledgement at this point. We're already our own thing. If you're jumping on, it's great. The thing about Fortnite, which is ironic in the Fortnite World Cup, is we recognize and appreciate that it brings all these eyes in the esports, and everyone's looking at it. It's biggest tournament of the year as far as getting non-endemic brands and people to watch the thing that we love. But it's funny because a lot of us, I guess you could call us old heads of esports. I'm not even an old head, but it's age is relative in esports. We look at it as is it an esport? There's a lot of criteria that it misses and some that it hits, and it's kind of bittersweet that the thing that gets people into the thing that we love so much is something that a lot of us don't even really consider an esport because of the way that Epic Games, the developer, runs the competitive aspect of the game and the way that they treat their competitive players. And a lot of it has to do with that bittersweetness, has to do with the fact that we want people to get the true esports experience. We're talking about Overwatch. We're talking about League of Legends. We want your first experience to be the super serious stuff, just like a football fan will want their first experience to be, or for their son to be going to watch your favorite team play, not watching arena football. So it's a tough pill to swallow, because we just have to, at the end of the day, realize that, hey, this is good for esports in the long run. It's getting more eyes on it, you know, and at the end of the day, no matter how people decide to talk about it, it's a good thing.
That's why I'm going to say, isn't it a good thing just to bring folk to the table? I used to get irritated. We wouldn't throw back a few years. When, like, rappers would come on Arsenio Hall's show and put down people like MC Hammer because they weren't rapping like they were rapping. Okay, well, MC Hammer, ain't he bringing other folks to the table? So, and this bringing people to the table, isn't that all good still?
It is. I mean, you know, some people might stop the buck at Fortnite, but others in that crowd that watched over the weekend might say, you know what, this was great, but this only happened once, and I need more. Is there something else I can watch? And then they go search and find their favorite game and find out their favorite game has a competitive league they can watch, or some streams they can watch 24/7. So at the end of the day, it's great. I just think a lot of people, they just want to make sure it's clear to the new people coming in that Fortnite is just the tip of the iceberg. It's not even the thing that, you know, we will say it like barely qualifies as an e-sport, but there is more to us than Fortnite, because, you know, the dancing and the giggling and the silliness and stuff like that. There's more to us. We are very serious, because at the end of the day, you know, I was listening earlier this week to the midday show, and there's still some trepidation about e-sports. You know, it's like, oh, didn't think I'd have to ever talk about this, about e-sports. And it's like, you don't want to go from, not only are they hesitant to have a conversation about it, period, but then at the same time, when they do, it's about this game called Fortnite where it's kind of silly, and then it paints this picture of esports is this silly landscape where, you know, nerdy gamers that are really young, 13, 14, 15, can go quit school, abandon everything that they, you know, the society tells them they need to do, because some of that stuff is important, and go play video games all day and dance and make jokes and all this other stuff. So it's just, we just want people to get more substance than just what Fortnite has to offer, I guess you can say. But it is very, very good that they're bringing eyes in to watch and to learn, you know, that esports even exists and to acknowledge that it exists.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Tell us how you really feel.
And Cole Gibson bringing it like he's never brought it before. This is like, for the first time, he's come off like a professor, a college professor who's talking about some students who have been cutting classes and getting achievements through, you know, like Cliff Notes and all that stuff. Yeah, y'all need to go and learn the basics. And so it was, no, man, listen, you want people to be better. I mean, that's your overall message. You want people to be better and have a better understanding about it. All right, so Fortnite wrote a couple big checks this past week to kids who barely have a driver's license, and that got on the radar of a lot of people.
Do you think that does something? Like, this is the second year. We're starting the second year for the Georgia High School Association to have esports as a varsity letter sport. Do you think something like this gets more kids to want to sign and be a part of their esports teams in school?
For sure. I think that, you know, if a kid, you know, they want to know, does my school have a Fortnite team? Because everybody, when you're young, you think you're discussing at a game that you love. And so you're going to want to jump in it and just play it and, you know, shovel in hundreds of hours and then hope that your school has a team. I think what we have to talk about, the bigger narrative, is when it comes to people actually making money. Because eventually, you know, some of those kids that got six figures in money haven't even graduated high school yet. Some just did. And it's a question of, at the college level especially, where the NCAA is squeamish about letting players make their own money that's not scholarship-based, and we're trying to set up different organizations to mirror the NCAA but with less red tape, is how are we going to make sure that these kids don't get, you know, tricked and fooled by some big agent or by some big entity, a team that might come and be like, hey, we want to sign you. Because it's interesting, one of the kids that won the duo tournament for the Fortnite World Cup, $1.5 million was supposed to go to him, and he only got $400,000 of it. His team got the rest, because in his contract there was no exact number of how much of the percentage of the pot they could take. It just said, we will take a percentage. And then the team decided after he won, after the fact, how much they were going to get. So out of $1.5 million, life-changing money, $400,000 is still pretty life-changing. you know, and his parents told him, you get to touch all that. That's all yours. But that means that that team took home over $500,000, and the majority of his prize pot, where in other esports, it's varied. It's, some people don't take any money from their players because they make the money in sponsorships. Some organization will take almost all of the money because they'll say, oh, we compensate you in housing and food and clothes and, you know, God knows what in sponsorship. So right. It's going to open up a narrative about contract law in esports and how we're going to get to a place where everyone is treated fairly so that when those kids come up from high school and college, they're not getting gypped and losing most of their money. And this opportunity turns into something that they regret because of that.
See, there's a whole lot of education that still needs to be going on with this because esports as a in total is still sort of like the Wild West. Even though the people that are in it know how it works, but as it's expanding, it's getting crazier. Cole Gibson joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com as we talk esports. All right, that was one big story, the kids getting paid the way they were. But the other story that came out this past week was Ninja. This is the LeBron James of esports, and he, like LeBron, switched teams. I mean, this thing is, I mean, to put it in perspective for our audience who don't follow esports, case in point right here. Sam and us, but was this KD leaving Oklahoma City and going to Golden State, LeBron leaving Cleveland and going to LA, that kind of level move?
It's on that level. I'll say like this. It's like, imagine if Don Lemon or Tucker Carlson or Rachel Maddow decided.
We don't bring up those guys here. They talk politics.
Yeah, well, it's just for the analogy. Just bear with me. Imagine if they said, I'm going to leave CNN, Fox, MSNBC, you know, and I'm just going to go to the opposite network or the rival network. That's how big it was on the scale of just comparison. Now, Tyler Blevins Ninja, he is the LeBron James of esports, and just his, not to say that he's good at everything like LeBron James, but his popularity is near unmatched in the realm of esports because he's a likable guy. But he left, and there's a lot of speculation around this. He didn't really give many reasons. All he really did was put a video on his Twitter and said, hey, Mixer.com/Ninja. I don't know where Microsoft found this money to pay him because it had to have been a huge contract to rip him away from Twitch, but this is a shakeup like the one that shook up the telecom industry when you had all these big conglomerates popping up and they're all looking for a reason why people need to go to their platform to use it, to watch from it. And when you pluck Twitch's number one top-selling commodity, I mean, they unverified Ninja 5 minutes after he made the announcement. That's how mad Twitch was. But this is a bigger narrative on Ninja had to leave for a reason. And that reason probably had to deal with the way that Twitch was, you know, dealing with streamers, dealing with some of its viewers and its audience, and how for a while they were the top dog. They were the only dog in the race. Yeah. And now with Mixer there, when you introduce new competition, and now that competition is serious. Before, Mixer was just kind of like the little engine that could. They wanted to one day challenge Twitch but didn't know how to do it. When they can rip Ninja away from Twitch, that's red flags everywhere for what's going on inside of Twitch that they can't keep this guy under contract. I'm telling you, there's going to be some really, really big interesting stuff and shakeups coming up in the next 2 years off of this, and I am very interested to see what the inside story was behind this, because Ninja didn't have to make the switch. He already had enough money, period.
Well, he's done
had to have been more.
And the first thing he did was invite the 16-year-old that won Fortnite last week, one of the first people that he called.
Yep.
So it's worth watching and seeing what goes on going forward. Cole, we thank you for getting up this morning and sharing some knowledge on a very eventful week. For something that you love and something that you bring us information on.
I had to call him on. When this started popping, we like got him on the phone on like Thursday. He's like, you got to prepare for this Sunday. Get ready, man.
So thanks so much.
Absolutely, man.
Thanks so much again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cole, enjoy your day, man. We're going to reach back out to him next week. But again, since we've been talking esports, have you seen a week like this past one?
Nah. That's just amazing. And once again, Cole is social.
Throw it out there.
At ATL Esports Guy, at ATL Esports Guy on Twitter.
The event that took place yesterday is something that we are trying to get here in Atlanta at the BB&T. And a woman that we talked about, especially during one of the big major events, had a big win yesterday. That's coming up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.